O God, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. Beside still waters you lead me. You restore my soul. You lead me in right paths for your name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of God my whole life long. Amen. Well, by now y'all know I'm a fifth-generation Texan. And I don't know that I've ever pointed this out, but we mostly raise sheep. It's a sheep operation out there in West Texas, and my cousin Tom E., not Tommy, but Tom E., is ranching land that belonged to our grandparents and our great-grandparents over 100 years in the same place, in the same family, raising the same stupid animals. Now, we mostly raise sheep for wool. So when you see that American wool, you should think of us. And when you think about lamb, that's not us so much, but that too. So eat more lamb, wear more wool. Sheep are interesting critters. Now, I know that at least Leslie Louie's daughter is raised a sheep. Anybody else here ever raised a sheep? I see like two hands. Well, and the other one's another Texan. Sheep are interesting creatures. Around here, we mostly see them up on hillsides doing sort of brush control, and they're very good at that because they just eat and eat and eat and poop and eat and poop and eat, poop and eat, poop and eat. They are pretty much idiotic. They really do need shepherds. If you move their water 50 yards, they won't find it. In West Texas in the summer, they won't find it. And they will literally just, you know, die from thirst because they, 50 yards, I mean, seriously. But they have some really other qualities that are pretty amazing. They really know their shepherds. My mom, when she was in 4-H as a child, had a little lamb. And this little lamb followed her everywhere, as they do. And as Mom pointed out, this is cute until you're trying to gather eggs from really nervous hens and you've got this lamb bleeding hell for leather. This doesn't work real well because these sheep don't know when to shut up either. They also get all kinds of interesting diseases. You really haven't lived till you've treated a sheep for screw worms. Nasty, and the treatment's nasty too. They are very prone to various sundry diseases. And in my family, some of the worst stories in our family have to do with droughts and sheep. And it's not pastoral. It's not the 23rd Psalm. This is not green grass and still waters. It's really miles and miles and miles of hot barbed wire and stickers and porcupines and rattlesnakes and rocks. That's what sheep country looks like. In fact, West Texas, where we live, looks a lot like Palestine. It's not much different than the sheep country that Jesus understood and that the writers of the gospel knew. And I don't know if they have screwworms in Palestine, but they probably don't have as good a treatment. Their sheep probably just died. I do know that they had wolves and predators. We still have wolves and predators and bobcats. And, you know, you have to protect the sheep. You have to help them find their water. You have to, you know, care for them. But they do know their shepherd. So the little lamb would follow Mom. And, And it was interesting, in the summers we would go and we would drive through the ranch and, you know, the sheep wouldn't even look up. But if my Papa Roy drove his pickup, wow, they came like mad. And you know, my mother still can't tell cars apart. These sheep, however, couldn't find water but knew which pickup belonged to their shepherd, who might be bringing them a little tasty extra or maybe a salt lick or something, and would come to care for them. So in this passage in John, where we get Christ as the good shepherd and we get this image of Jesus as shepherd, it really helps if you know a little bit more about sheep and shepherds before you really interpret this passage, because it's not quite what a lot of folks think. And I really believe that being called sheep is pretty insulting. Most of us don't have as good a wool, and we're a little smarter. We can usually find water. We are not quite as dumb as sheep. We also do share some other characteristics, however. There's a weed in West Texas called bitterweed. Now, sheep can't find water, but if this weed sprouts anywhere, they will find it for sure. And it's poison. And they will eat it and then die from it. It's addictive, it's poison, and if you get bitterweed on your ranch, you have to go out of the sheep business. You have to start raising goats who won't eat it, go figure. Goats will eat everything except that. Sheep, however, are addicted to it. And you can get a sheep that's addicted to bitterweed, and I remember my Papa Roy telling me this story. You can put them in a pen where it's bitterweed free, and there can be a little bitterweed like, you know, 5 feet away, and they will literally rip their wool off to try to get to that bitterweed. Well, now, some of us who've struggled with addictions, maybe we do know something about sheep. Our drug of choice may not be bitterweed, but some of us have ripped our wool off trying to get to something that really isn't good for us every once in a while. Some of us, I won't say all of us, but some of us have that characteristic. So we need shepherds, because we do have some of the characteristics of sheep. And this image of Christ the Good Shepherd is one that I think is very helpful when we think about what it means to be church, and when we think about transitions in leadership, and we think about what our role is. I can tell you, as a pastor, I'm never terribly comfortable with the idea of being the sole shepherd of a bunch of sheep. First of all, you're more like herding cats than sheep. Sheep are pretty good. You know, they kind of stay together. They'll flock. And I've experienced most progressive Christians as being pretty anti-flocking. You don't agree on much of anything. You're more like cats, not sheep, in that regard. And I think that part of what's helpful about that is to recognize, actually, that we're all called to be shepherds. Not just those of us who become pastors or leaders, but we are all called to be shepherds. So what does that mean, to be a shepherd? Well, you know, if the flock you are tending is as dumb as sheep, that's a lot of work. And the thing is what does it mean to be a shepherd? In this metaphor, it's to be like Jesus. What kind of shepherd is Jesus? Well, not typical, because John is really thinking in metaphor, not in literal. So it's not so much that you have to help the sheep find their water source and all of that, and get them off bitterweed and care for their screw worms and make sure they're safe from predators. Shepherds of people, and people who are learning to be shepherds, are called to follow the path of Jesus, which is one of what? Love, right? Love and healing and caring unconditionally. So we don't get to be sheep. We don't get to just sit around in the flock and wait for the shepherd to tell us what to do next. We're called to be shepherds. You've got a new pastor coming. And the truth is, the best thing you can do for him is get your own shepherd game up. And be good shepherds, not just sheep. Because trust me, you don't want a church full of sheep. That would be awful. So the final thing I just want to leave with you is that in this sheep and shepherds and sheep business, that we need each other. Sheep need their shepherd, and shepherds need sheep. You're not really a shepherd unless you got sheep. So I want you to think about this. This is your invitation. Who thinks of you as their shepherd? For the women who were at the retreat yesterday, it said, you remember one of the questions was, who blessed you? Who's your shepherd? Who kind of showed you how to be a leader, how to care for others, how to be in the world as a force for good as opposed to just going along with the flock? Who is your shepherd? Who's your shepherd now? Who cares for you? Might not be the same people it used to be. Might be shifting and changing over time. As we age, sometimes our children become our shepherds. And we are no longer really their shepherds anymore, and they're no longer our sheep for sure. And then once you recognize who your own shepherds are, who are you responsible for? Who are your sheep? Who are the ones who recognize you and say, yes, that person teaches me how to be in the world. That person is a leader I respect. So as you continue to grow as a community and a church, I invite you all to think about to what extent you play the role of sheep and you play the role of shepherd and up your shepherd game. But also be willing to be led. Willing to be led. You don't always have to be cats. You can get together and actually kind of do stuff together. You know, you don't have to always go your own way. You can be a person who will go along with what's going on and do it wholeheartedly and full-heartedly without having to change the program every 20 seconds. So, as you think about sheep and shepherds, I bid you adieu. And it has been such an absolute pleasure. I told the women at the retreat yesterday that this has been a fun 6 months. You all have been really good for me, and I have been really, really blessed in many ways by your faithfulness, by your braininess, by your zaniness. I will never quite ever, I think, get to play both a pig and a dog in church. And so today I could have, if I'd had sheep ears, I would have gone for the sheep as well, and we would have gone for the whole barnyard set. But I am so grateful to all of you, so grateful and so blessed. Amen.